Hey everybody, welcome back to the Duo Podcast. I am Chris. Pat is not here with us today. I'm actually recording from home this morning. I have an appointment ahead of me. But I wanted to touch base with you guys about something that is kind of been on my mind lately in regards to just trying to grow professionally and what my professional journey has been. So I went to local community college here in Northeast Ohio. And much like a lot of my schooling, I didn't love it, but I knew it was important. So I did my best, and I did pretty good. Was going for computer information systems and was going to, you know, become a programmer, tear down and build computers or whatever it was that I hadn't quite decided on yet. Fast forward about a year and a half-ish, and I got an internship offer with a friend of mine. He worked at a small web development agency downtown Cleveland, and so I took it, and I started working 3 or 4 days a week downtown Cleveland, driving about 30 minutes one way, and, you know, paying for parking and doing all that. This is back in the day when you could basically be told to go fetch coffee and do random little things. So I would do anything they asked me to do because all I wanted was an opportunity, a chance to get in the door with them and to learn. Because I realized when I would learn by myself and go get books from the library and read things online, that what I was learning from books at the library and reading things online was so much more ahead of what I was reading and understanding and learning at school. And I'm not saying that school is always going to be behind the times, but for this instance, they were. And I feel like for technology, it's so difficult because it evolves so quickly. So I got in with them. They then asked me if I wanted to be a designer or a developer. And it was very, very cut and dry. It was very, you know, A or B. That was it. There was no middle ground there. I wanted to be both, and they hated that answer, so I said developer. I knew developers made more money. I thought it was pretty cool that they could program websites to do things, so I said, all right, I guess I'll be a developer. As I journeyed through cutting up Photoshop files and turning it into functional HTML and CSS, and this is back when you know, we're required to use validators at a lot of places to make sure that your CSS was written correctly and to make sure that your XHTML was written correctly. I loved that part of it. I loved the blank canvas. Here's what I'm trying to create, which is the Photoshop file. I'm trying to create that web form. Where I stopped enjoying things was when it came to actual programming, when it would just be hundreds and thousands of lines of code and, you know, writing all this stuff and getting frustrated with syntax and, you know, a lot of those types of things would drive me bananas. And so I said, okay, well, you know, doing HTML and CSS, like, that's my bread and butter. I can do this in my sleep at this point. And so what I did was, excuse me, I then tried to figure out, okay, maybe I could design. You know, if I hit this wall with development, then maybe I'm more meant to be a designer. So I would dive into Photoshop. And again, this is when we used Photoshop for web design. And I would dive into Photoshop and I would create what I thought were really great designs at the time. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't, whatever. And what that allowed me to do after I really started to learn about design and colors and fonts and what's safe for web and what's not safe for web and best practices and all that, what I was able to do, though, is not only design a website, but then cut up the Photoshop file and code the front end. At the time, front-end development wasn't a thing. And so I was able to save developers time because I persisted and I kind of tore down that wall internally, at least at this company, that If you're a developer, you're a developer. If you're a designer, you're a designer. And I wanted to be both. A handful of months later, this company actually closed down. I won't get into specifics, but they closed, and that happens to companies. So I was out of a job. And what do you do when you're out of a job? You look for more. But at the time, I was 20 years old. 20. Yeah, 20 years old. And I had no degree. I was going to school very part-time because my internship that I was working at previously had actually hired me full-time. So very part-time. And I found myself without a job. So I started doing some landscape work for my brother. He owned a landscape company, and I just kept applying, but I kept learning and trying, and I was persistent. The places I really wanted to get in, I was so persistent with them. I figured out along the way, like, who the hiring manager was or who the manager I'd be reporting to was, and I would knock on their door, quote unquote, every single day, just to try to get my resume and myself in front of them, because I believed in what I brought to the table, and that confidence in what I could do and what I could also learn is what drove me to continue to push and push and push. After weeks and weeks and weeks of applying, then I actually received an offer from at the time, small software company called Overdrive in the Cleveland area, ebooks and audiobooks and all kinds of stuff. I thought that was really cool. It was a great job. It was really far away, but you know what? I needed a job and I wanted to learn. So I was doing UI UX development there. I was basically duplicating websites and making them look good and getting them out the door. And you were talking, the hope was 3, 4, 5 of those a week, if you could. And so as I grew more comfortable in my role there and learned more, I wanted to push the envelope and I wanted to make changes to the templates, because the way the old way was, it was, we wanted it to be a seamless experience from the library, like from their website over to the digital, like ebook and audiobook collection, even if that meant creating a really, really, really bad looking website. There are a lot of sites that I created there that, because the rules were set, hey, you're gonna mimic their current live site, that I rolled out a lot of crappy looking websites. But here's where my drive, my motivation, and my persistence came in. I wanted this company to push the envelope. How is technology supposed to evolve? How are we supposed to evolve as businesses if we're not willing to actually make things uncomfortable? So I suggested that we start rolling out like standardized templates in the ebook and audiobook collection side of things that were more modern. Maybe they were actually responsive when that was, first taking flight. And, maybe we tell the libraries that it's their turn to step up instead of us stepping down. And so we continued to push and push and push. And, even after I changed departments at that company and moved over to the marketing department, I know the team that I was working with and that kind of took over from there really pushed it even more. And it was one of those moments where I was proud, not because I made that, because the work that they created was far better than what I was able to do. But I was proud that I felt like I took an initiative and I pushed people that had been in a comfort zone, I pushed them out of that comfort zone. And I truly believe that I was able to try to help a company evolve a little bit. I then moved over to the marketing department, as I said before. While I was at the in the marketing department, there was a challenge of, okay, a front-end developer in the marketing department. And this is honestly where I learned the most about design. My manager there was an art director at several different large places before. He was a great mentor to me. He really took me under his wing and showed me about actual design theory, color theory. Everything when it comes to like textbook design, you know, stuff you would learn in school, best practices, I can attribute a lot of that to him. And so Jim, one day, if you're thinking, you know, if you're listening to this, I thank you. It really opened my eyes to things I was doing wrong before, things I needed to change. And so I started to do that, and he pushed me to be better and better and better. I learned about print design, which I still hate to this day, but for all you print designers out there and all you graphic designers that specialize in doing print work, bless you, because I, you know, the whole bleeds and prints and safe lines and all that stuff, me and that stuff just don't get along. But what we wound up doing, the main corporate website, Overdrive.com, actually spoke to about three or four different audiences. And that was not ideal, because how are our marketing writers supposed to write to three or four different audiences all in the same website? It's difficult. The old website was big, it was clunky, there was no content management system, so every change that happened had to get sent to back-end developers from writers, and a lot of times back-end developers and content writers don't see eye to eye on things. And so what we did internally as a marketing department, we took on the initiative to actually convert the Overdrive.com site into a WordPress site. But we actually wanted to make it three separate WordPress sites that all kind of lived under the same roof, right? They all needed to be branded together and look consistent and stuff like that, but they needed to live under the same roof but separate. You know, we had places that were for, you know, partners and current clients, places for, you know, potential partners and clients and more of the sales side of things. Places for front end users, because Overdrive was tricky. It was B2B and B2C all at the same time. And so what we decided to do was turn this thing into a WordPress powered site. We empowered the management at the company to then manage their sections of the website. And, you know, I'm proud to say through persistence and through a lot of hard work and planning and coordination that we took a corporate website, converted it to WordPress, tested the living daylights out of it, and at that time we relaunched and they were averaging 20 million visitors a month. So as a 24-year-old, I believe I was, I launched a website with 20 million visitors a month. And this was after people telling me that I, you know, couldn't be a designer and developer. I had to be one or the other. Why does a front-end developer need to be in the marketing department? Why do you want to learn about marketing and ROI and KPI and, you know, why do you need to learn about any of that stuff? You're just, you know, you're supposed to be a developer. Don't just be a developer. Make it your priority to learn more than you think you'll ever need. Because if there's one thing I've learned, as of, I believe it's in October, I will be officially working 12 years full-time as a designer or developer in some capacity. If there's one thing I've learned, is that you are always going to use things that you never realized that were going to come in handy. And, you know, I can honestly say that me learning programming first was probably one of the best things. I should say development, because I don't want to ruffle any feathers with the actual programmers out there, because I will never call myself an actual programmer. But what we understood through learning development translated into the way I designed. So then I started designing, understanding the way it was going to be coded, which is a huge advantage in my opinion. And then from the marketing side of things, understanding what, you know, the impact of of verbiage on a button was going to be on the end user, or really understanding how to read and analyze Google Analytics data. All of these things were incredibly important to my career path to this point. Your career path may or may not be a straight line. Mine has certainly been circles and squigglies and ups and downs and crazy. But here I am, running Duo. We've got clients of all shapes and sizes, small, medium-sized businesses, nonprofits, everything. We partner, we work with local communities and cities on their plans and marketing efforts. And, you know, I'm proud to say that I feel like we have grown as a company in the past year due to the fact that me and Pat, the other partner in Duo, we don't stop learning. And I think once you realize that your career doesn't stop, right? It doesn't, just because you get into a career where you're sitting here, you know, punching a clock every day, you shouldn't stop learning and growing in your career, even if you don't want to necessarily move up a crazy amount. Cleveland's a blue collar town. My dad has worked in a factory for 30 years and he has continued to learn all these different ways of doing things because he knew that that was what's coming up. His company asked him to do it. And here he is now. He started off, operating a very manual, press operation. So now he's running and programming, a laser with, cutting out parts on a laser. That's pretty sweet. That has certainly evolved. And it's a job that you may not, over time, think would evolve all that much or would require learning. But every job requires learning and evolving and growing. And so just keep pushing yourself. Keep being persistent, especially those of you out there that may be applying for jobs or trying to get internships or trying to get a new job, a better job, whatever you're trying to do. Be persistent. Never stop learning. There's a wealth of resources out there as technology evolves. Obviously, the big one is lynda.com, but there are 1,000 other places to be able to learn and grow and change. And ultimately, if you don't, as a designer developer, if you don't tinker with things and push yourself, then you're never going to grow. And I think if designers and developers aren't growing, then how is our industry or how is our profession supposed to grow and evolve? So, feel free to reach out anytime. We're on all social media channels, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Duo Design Dev. We have a YouTube account we don't really use yet, so don't worry about it. Our podcast that you're currently listening to is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, Spotify, and of course, Anchor. Anchor is an incredible resource for anyone that wants to get started at a podcast. I promise they are not paying me for this little mini advertisement, but they have certainly made our lives significantly easier. So feel free to email me, chris@duodesigndev.com, if you actually listen to this and maybe just want to sit down and chat or have lunch sometime or coffee sometime and just try to dive more into this or anything else that you want to hear. All right, thanks, guys.